Hi, I'm Spencer.
And I'm Blake, and you're about to get jumped. Welcome to episode 59 of Blake and Spencer Get Jumped, a weekly podcast where we watch the anime so you don't have to.
But you should still totally watch the anime.
This week on Get Jumped, we're watching Naruto episode 69 through 73, where the Hokage fights Orochimaru.
Yeah, and he fights him with a very big stick that he actually brought over from a different anime. He went over to Dragon Ball Z, or Dragon Ball, and he grabbed the extendo pole. If you were thinking...
I was thinking
like,
he had gone to Soul Eater and gotten a weapon that's also a sentient being.
Oh, yeah? Well, I mean, like, if you're going to look in any universe inside of anime, you're going to find at least one sentient pole that becomes longer or shorter, or...
I love a sentient pole that grows.
Oh my god, I knew you were going to say something and I have to step away. Let's just jump in! Huh?
Well,
hey everybody.
Now we've lost all of our listeners.
Yeah, anyways, as if we hadn't lost them before. Anyways, okay,
listen to us.
Yeah. Before we get started today, we have a couple of quick things to go over about what's happening inside of our world. First and foremost, I have a bone to pick with Netflix.
Oh.
So Netflix decided to remove the first fucking two seasons of Naruto and then add the third season of Naruto, which just happens to be around my fucking schedule of things to watch. And I was like, what the fuck, you guys? Right when I wanted to actually try to watch this on a legitimate station without any fucking commercials, like on Hulu, they took it away from me. That makes me so annoyed. Netflix, put on the whole fucking show. That's what binge watching is for, you assholes. Why don't we get to?
I had already watched some of the episodes, so I started today. I watched 71 through 73 right before you called me, so I just. I had already watched the first two of five that we're covering today, and I didn't have any problems, but I had read that Naruto was being removed entirely from Netflix, I thought, on the first, and we are recording on the fifth, so I was surprised to see it there with no removal notice, so
yeah, it's
maybe
just
they
annoying.
Renewed their contract or something?
Yeah, but only for season three? What the fuck is that shit?
Which like, I guess starts in the middle of our coverage?
Sort of. It doesn't even like really cover what we want to do. Whatever. Screw that. I'm just actively annoyed today. On good news though, we are absolutely going to be going to KomoriCon.
Yes.
So we can officially announce that we are going to be there. So
both of us in person.
So if you are a listener and you are totally stoked to go to this, if you're living in the Portland area or if you're in like this West Coast area and you want to meet us, we're going to be wandering around. We don't have like a booth or anything, but we'll definitely be there. And this is really exciting because this is our first venture into being, you know, interviewers inside of a big anime convention, which is so sweet.
I have been to a con since we started our show, but it was the Chicago Comic Con, the C2E2, and I have not been to an anime con since we started and have never been as, like, you know, an official emissary of the podcast, so I'm pretty excited. Also, it's going to be, like, the first time I've seen you in person in a while, and I guess I'm looking forward to that, too.
Anyways, with that being said, we're going to get into our coverage this week of Naruto.
Yeah, I have a video that I watched yesterday that I wanted to mention before we get started, because I think, one, it's a really good video, two, it's about Naruto, and three, it sort of reflects some of the points that it makes in the episodes we're covering today. So this is from the YouTube channel is called Mother's Basement. Which I know we've discussed a few times on here before. It's a really good, mostly anime, somewhat video game-centric YouTube channel. You should definitely check it out just in general. But I watched an episode. I believe the title is Naruto is Better Than You Think It Was. That might be Was Better Than You Think It Is. I don't know. It's something almost exactly that title. And it is about 20 minutes, and it covers... why Naruto was such a hit. And just to hit some of the highlights here, I mean, we've been covering Naruto because both of us have watched and enjoyed Naruto in the past. If you are a longtime listener of our show, you will know that we have not super enjoyed covering Naruto, largely because we like the big explosive moments of Naruto, and Naruto, the show, has a pretty meandering plot, and it has a lot of major pacing issues. This video is going to do a really good job of reminding you why the series as a whole is valuable. I could cover some of the points here, but I think it's just worth a visit to check out that video and watch it if you haven't, or rewatch it if you have not watched it in a while. It does a good job of highlighting what is really great about Naruto and when Naruto is at its best, while still acknowledging some of its major flaws and comparing it to, it mentions One Piece a little bit, but specifically comparing it to Bleach in ways that I had never really thought of. Because as you might know, Bleach, Naruto, and One Piece are considered the big three long-running shonen series that were very popular all at about the same time and kind of came on the heels of Dragon Ball Z's success and took that and ran with it. So it's a really great video. It's going to one of the big points that it makes is about how the best battles in Naruto are not just cool techniques, but they are cool techniques that make your imagination go wild thinking about how else they could be applied or how they could be defeated. And when ninja are not just using super techniques for the sake of it or summoning giant monsters for the sake of it, but when they're actually outsmarting each other and they're having sort of a tete-a-tete through the battles. And I think we're going to get several good examples of that in the episodes we're covering today.
So before we jump in as well, Blake has decided that he is going to break this episode into plot A and plot B. We are So we're going to be going completely through plot B, and then we're going to go completely through plot A. So without further ado, previously on Naruto's coverage.
So Naruto, in general, is a world where there are ninja. They are, of course, anime ninja, so they use an energy called chakra to do what is essentially magical or fantastic abilities, like shooting fire out of their mouths. Naruto, the character, lives in a village called the Leaf Village, also known as Konoha or Konohagakure. Those are all the same thing, just stated different ways. They are currently holding what's called a Genin exam in Konohagakure. This is an exam to see if ninjas in training can basically level up to the next rank of ninja, which will allow them to go on more serious adult missions and is also sort of a mark of honor and recognition. This is not just being held with the Leaf Village's ninjas. It's also got ninjas from other villages who've come in. And the main village that we're going to be focusing on that's not the Leaf Village is the Sand Village. And they have sent a couple of emissaries that are going to be clashing with some of our main characters. So our B plot today is going to focus on a little bit on Naruto and Sakura. Naruto's our main character. Sakura is his female teammate. They are in pursuit alongside Pakun, which is a ninja hound who's he's basically like a little pug who has a really good nose. They are chasing after Sasuke. Sasuke is one of their teammates who has gone on ahead to try and stop one of the Sand Village ninjas from escaping. They're also accompanied by somebody who is in their age range but is not a teammate. His name is Shikamaru. His claim to fame is that he's super lazy and doesn't want to do anything, but when he does something, he is a tactical genius. So the three of them and Pakun are in pursuit of Sasuke, who is in pursuit of the Sand Village trio. These are Gaara, Konkoro, and Temari. Gaara is knocked out, so we don't really need to know anything about him this episode. He's going to be unconscious the whole time. Konkoro is his brother, who is a puppet user, although we will also not see that this episode, so he's mostly just there to carry Gaara. Temari is his sister, and she has a giant fan that she uses to blow cutting gusts of wind at her opponents. She's pretty cool. She is arguably one of the best female characters in Naruto entirely. But we'll get to see her do some cool shit this episode. Finally, our A plot is going to be focusing on Sarutobi, who is the third Hokage, which is the village leader for the Leaf Village, and Orochimaru. We're going to learn a little bit about Orochimaru's backstory, but we have met him before. He is a creepy snake-related person who has bitten Sasuke on the neck and given him something called a curse mark seal. He is very villainous, really creepy, and we, at this point in the series, don't know too much more about him, but he is directly connected to the Sound Village, which has sort of appeared in this arc, and right before these episodes has started an attack on the Leaf Village. So he is leading some sort of assault or coup or something. Sarutobi is the third Hokage out of four. These are the village leaders. He used to be the Hokage, stopped being it, and then when the fourth Hokage was killed, he became it again. He's pretty old, but is still very, very skilled, and they have been put into battle against one another by some Sound Village ninja erecting this, like, mystical barrier that cannot be passed through. So they're trapped in a giant box on top of a building where they're facing off against one another and nobody can get in to assist the Hokage. But I think that's cool. It. That's a lot.
Cool. So we are going to be going through 69 through 73 today. I'll just go ahead and give you the names of these episodes because we're going to be going through them and then going through them again. So I'm just going to let you know. 69 is Village in Distress, a new A-ranked mission. Episode 70 is Shirker's Call to Action, Layabout No More. 71 is An Unrivaled Match, Hokage Battle Royale. 72 is Mistake from the Past, A Face Revealed, and then 73, Forbidden Secret Technique, Reaper Death Seal, sorry. So the first thing that is going to be happening in this episode is that our Kakashi Sensei is going to have summoned Pakun, which is one of his ninja dogs. He sends them to help the kids. We found out in the very end of the last episode that some of the people are just kind of lazing about instead of actually being knocked out by the genjutsu that is knocking people out. One of those people happens to be Shikamaru, and Naruto is actually asleep because of this genjutsu.
Yeah, he's not Paku, very good at things.
Paku proceeds to bite him a couple of times, which is sort of funny. And my favorite part, though, is he's like, if you agree to do this, I'll let you touch the pads of my paws.
Yeah. It's so creepy, but it's kind of funny. He's like, my paws he's are like, so soft and supple, you should touch them, but only if you do this.
Anyways.
Getting seduced by a dog. That's fine.
Yeah. So they go to run and find Sasuke. There's not going to be much that's happening with them. We're going to see them running a couple of times in this episode. Really, the only other thing that's going to happen in this episode is we're going to check in with one of the least favorite characters of the show, Konohamaru.
Who voted is least favorite by Blake and Spencer Get Jumped 2 years running.
That's no. There is another that is worse, but we have passed him and he is no longer important. we need Mo Eggy.
Come on back, girl.
he sees a rainbow and remembers being with his grandfather one day, and talked about how rainbows symbolize snakes and about the incoming of evil. And I think in this moment was just like, who the fuck thinks that snakes are summoned by rainbows?
Is this
some kind of like bullshit leprechaun magic?
I am assuming that this is a Japanese view and not something that Naruto is trying to make like in-universe, but that doesn't match up with Japan's viewpoints. So assuming that in Japan, rainbows are associated with snakes, which maybe because they're like long, curvy lines, and so are snakes, I guess. Mm-hmm. And indicating the coming of evil, that surprised me because rainbows are pretty beautiful and kind of a fascinating natural phenomenon. And I think Japanese culture in general appreciates natural phenomenon quite a bit more than American or Western culture does. So I was surprised to hear that. I know in American culture, rainbows don't have a particular meaning unless you are gay, in which case it represents, you know, the spectrum of expression and like self-realization and sort of a celebration of that. Or if you are Christian and it harkens back to the Noah's Ark story, where it's a promise by God not to kill literally everyone on the planet again. So usually we have one of those, which I guess you could round the Christian version of that into a coming of evil, since it literally spelled disaster for the entire human race. But yeah, I think this is mostly a difference between Eastern and Western culture, and I thought it was pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. This next next thing that's going to happen to them is actually pretty sweet.
Yeah, and this is actually us going into episode 70, which interestingly enough only includes what we have labeled here as the B plot. There is no A plot in this episode, or at least none that I felt was valuable or worthwhile enough to mention.
There's like them hearkening over that it's going to be important in just a minute, but don't worry about it. It's going to happen in another episode.
Uh-huh.
Instead, we're going to see Naruto, Sakura, and Shikamaru are running with Pakun through the forest. They notice that they are being chased by some ninja. They don't know exactly who they are, but they know that there are 9 of them because they can sense them.
With and Pakun's so ninja dog nose.
Yeah, so they're running across the ground and leaving footprints. So they decide to walk backwards on their footprints so they can kind of like throw off these ninjas. Because they are ninjas though, number one, they are not fooled so easily.
Right.
And number two, because I guess the foursome that's running through the forest is not very good at not breaking twigs. One of the 9 looks up and he sees a broken twig and he's like, oh, those fuckers went through the trees. Yeah, I know what's happened here. You're not fooling me with this snow technique.
There's several moments where the pursuing ninja are seen noticing the direction our heroes have gone by seeing broken branches and shit. And I'm like, you guys are not being careful for a group that is not only being pursued, but has taken the time to carefully retrace your steps.
Yeah, it's fucking like, stupid.
Like, what the fuck? Like, if you're trying to hide from somebody, but you, like, go into a room in an otherwise dark house and leave the light on, they're probably gonna look in there. So, stop it if you're trying to hide. Like, it's so dumb. Also, I gotta say, this whole sequence, like, this episode is really pretty good, actually. And the whole sequence of them, like, pursuing, like, I remembered bits and pieces, but, like, I knew Shikamaru went with them, but I didn't remember what happened to him, and, like,
I had forgotten Asuma entirely.
So much! Yeah, like, I kept watching this, and I'm like, I know he survives, because I know he's in the rest of the series, but what's gonna happen? And
yeah.
It was pretty exciting, like, this is a good episode.
Okay. So, we are going to see a couple of things inside of this episode that are going to happen next. First and foremost, we're going to find out that Shikamaru is more of a badass for planning things than everybody else. In that, he talks about exactly what they need to do. And they're like, well, we could just ambush them. And Shikamaru's like, that's not going to fucking work. Because in order to ambush people, you need to be able to strike completely unknowingly from the people that are coming after you. And then you need to escape before being caught by the other people. So that is not going to work. So the only way that it's the only thing that could work is that one of us stays behind to slow them down as they come across. And the only one that's going to be able to do that and not die basically immediately is me, because I have this, the shadow possession technique.
If you don't remember, Shikamaru's ability is to extend his shadow using ninjutsu magic to connect with other people's shadows, which then immobilizes them and incidentally makes them do the same. It makes them mirror his actions, which is important previously, but is not going to be this episode. But basically he can immobilize you if he can trap you. That said, it is a huge strain on his chakra, so he can only do it for a little amount of time.
Yeah. So Shikamaru is waiting behind when these ninjas show up. There are 8 of them that come down from the trees to try to attack Shikamaru. Shikamaru is going to capture them in his shadow possession technique.
All 8, which is pretty baller.
So remember, there are 9, but he captures 8 of them that appear, and the 9th, he's like, well, he's waiting aside in case there is a capture, so that he can release these 8 ninjas that are in the main group. There's also this sweet moment where they're just like, oh, this is the, it's like the something technique, he says. And then Shikamaru's like, that's an old name for it. Are you behind the times? The new name of it is the shadow possession technique.
Yeah,
and I was like, that must be what his dad named it.
Yeah, this kind of harkens to the genie. So jutsu in Naruto, it's kind of like officially on its face, you as a ninja should be able to learn most jutsu. So like pretty much any technique you could teach yourself. Way far past now, we're going to learn that there are actually five elements to jutsu: fire, water, wind, earth, and lightning. And that ninja tend to only specialize in two of those. So they actually really can only learn the ones that are in their technique. And something that's out of their technique is going to be harder to learn, kind of similar to the Nen system in Hunter x Hunter, although a little more open-ended for Naruto. Then the other thing is that it seems like, especially with the families in Konoha, there are kind of like special techniques that are passed down. And I think these, maybe they're like technically jutsu that you could learn, but they're well-kept family secrets, so other people don't know them. That's what I've got to assume. And then there's techniques that are like bloodline traits that are not jutsu that can be learned. That's going to be like Sasuke's, what's it called?
Sharingan.
Thank you, Sharingan. And or like Haku's ice mirrors from the first arc. Those are things that are technically jutsu, but they're not learnable jutsu. This is kind of hearkening to that larger world building that you'll see later on as we start to see and watch in battle the parents of some of our well-known characters, that they traditionally will have powers that are identical or similar to the kids that we're more familiar with, but they will often have slightly different abilities, or they will use them in slightly different ways, so that it's very clearly connected, but not identical. And you'll also see some of that if you watch Boruto, which is the next generation, where they have slightly different versions of their parents' abilities, just like this generation has. It's a cool world-building thing that we've seen, and I think his calling it something else and having slightly different abilities is a direct reference to that.
Yeah. So, the next thing that we're going to see, though, is that Shikamaru doesn't have enough chakra because he just got done fighting instead of his Ginyin fight.
For running out of chakra, so he's already running on E here.
Yeah, so he releases his jutsu and knows that he's probably going to die. He has this moment where he's just like, I wanted to live my life. I wanted to have a relaxing life. I wanted to have a kid, and I wanted my kid to become a ninja. And then as soon as he became a ninja, I wanted to retire and have a life that is completely relaxing, playing shogi until basically I die. So it's him just kind of lamenting his life. It's a great moment, and it definitely has that, the sort of the tellings of, like, you know, something that would be said by a character right before they actually died in the show, and letting the audience know that this person is having this, like, you know, existential crisis moment.
But instead empathize with him and before instead, he gets taken away.
Yeah, instead, Asuma just fucking, like, jumps out of the tree after already killing this other ninja and just immediately kills all the other ninjas.
Yeah,
and
Asuma it's just is like, a badass.
Yeah, he does it super fast. He fights using no different, like, specialty techniques except for, you know, having brass knuckles that are also knives, which is fucking badass.
So cool. Yeah, we're going to learn a lot more about Asuma's techniques way later. But for now, he's just kind of a side character, and this is the first time we've really seen him do anything, and he is awesome. I love Asuma. And like I was saying, I had totally forgotten how this shakes out, and when Asuma appeared, I was literally like, this is awesome! Like, I was, like, cheering by myself in my house, and, like, it's just so cool. It's a great moment, and that pretty much wraps up Shikamaru's part in Part B. They've killed all of the pursuers. Shikamaru is now separated from them, but with Asuma, and we're gonna kind of catch up with Sasuke now. He is gonna.
So,
sorry, what go ahead. So Sasuke, he's, again, he is pursuing the Sand Siblings. He is going to almost get got by a series of explosive traps that they have left, which is basically like steel wire or something crisscrossing around an area of trees. And there's these things called paper bombs in Naruto, which are basically just like talismans that will explode upon contact or upon release or whatever. So Sasuke almost gets blown up, but he manages to escape. And then later on, after some other more interesting plot happens in this episode, we're going to see him at the end of it coming to finally catch up with Temari and Konkoro.
Yeah, so he's going to get into a fight with Temari. It's pretty sweet. Temari thinks that she completely has the upper hand.
It's a good fight.
Yeah, so they have like a pretty good like tete-a-tete where they're fighting back and forth. Sasuke's going to spit some fireballs. Temari's going to knock some stuff away with her badass fan. But when she eventually gets got, she thinks that she got Sasuke in midair. She nails him with a bunch of kunai knives that she throws at him. He's going to fall on the ground, and she's going to go up to it a little bit, only for it to be revealed that it's a substitution jutsu with a explosive tag on it, and she's going to be way too close, and then she gets blasted back so hard that the air is knocked out of her, and she's pretty like beat up. She can't chase after Sasuke, and Sasuke runs to catch up with Gaara and Konkoro.
It makes it look like she may have been killed, but we're gonna see that she's pretty much fine later on.
Yeah. So the last thing that's gonna happen in this B plot is that they're all going to catch up with Konkoro and Gaara. Sasuke's going to catch up first, and then you're going to see Naruto and Sakura show up with another character that we haven't seen in a while, which is the bug user.
No, Naruto and Sakura do not, they don't make it to him just yet. They are almost there.
Oh, yeah. So it ends with them almost being there, and then, God, what is his name? Why can't I think of it right now?
Shino.
Shino shows up, and he is going to get into a fight with Konkoro at the end of the last episode, and I had a moment where I was just like, I did not remember this happened. Yeah. I fucking hope that they don't fucking steal this away from me. I want to watch this fight more than I've wanted to watch any other fight in the show so far.
Yeah.
Please let me fucking see the bug user fight.
It's great. I remembered having a conversation with you about this. I don't know if this was on air or if we were talking before or after recording, but I remember talking to you about Shino fighting Konkoro, and you were like, I don't remember that. And I was like, nah, it's good. And if I remember correctly, I think it is a very brief fight, but it's a good one. It is.
I'm so ready.
I'm going to harken back to the Mother's Basement video that I mentioned. It is like one of the things he says is that the fights in Naruto are at their best when it's ninja outsmarting other ninja. And that's kind of what the series presents itself as in the early days. And it does a good job of that, especially during part one, of having most fights be about outsmarting the other characters. And the Shino Konkoro fight is fully that. It's kind of like the Shikamaru Temari fight that we covered in one or two episodes ago, which is another of my favorites. So it's really good. But unfortunately, our coverage for today is going to cut off with Sasuke leaving to pursue Temari and Gaara, Naruto and Sakura and Pakun still in pursuit, and Shino and Konkoro only about to fight. So we're not going to get to see it this time.
So now we're going to go to the A plot. The A plot is dope. The A plot is actually one of, if not the best fight other than the best fight that actually is in Naruto, which might be the very last fight that happens.
Yeah, that's definitely the best.
There's a bone user, and then there's a fight that Naruto has.
So good.
Both of those are fantastic, but this might be the most legit best fight other than those two.
I gotta say, most of the fighting of the fight is gonna take place in episode 71, which is the third, right in the middle of our coverage today. If you would like to see it, I highly recommend it. There is a plot around it that's not really going to be covered, so make sure you listen to our episode or watch the preceding episodes to get caught up. But 71 is pretty much a must-watch fight if you want to see it. It is also the high-quality animation that Naruto gives us sometimes, and it is beautiful.
Yes. So, this first episode that we are going to see, the only plot points that you really need to know is that Orochimaru and Sarutobi are going to have a little bit of a tete-a-tete back and forth. They are going to be kind of poking and prodding each other to make sure that they can't be knocked down with easy techniques. As soon as they both accept that they're going to get serious, Sarutobi is getting ready to use a technique when Orochimaru uses his own technique, which is called the Enno Tensei. The Enno Tensei is a forbidden technique because what is going to do is going to summon people that are dead. The way that you do this is that you pull up the blood or like any sort of like DNA that the person's soul is still attached to. You inject that into a living host that is going to slowly become like they're going to slowly be enshrouded in, like, they say it's like mud and dirt and stuff that's formed.
Yeah, basically so that
shape.
It can take the form of the person that you're reanimating. Yeah. So you're basically turning a living person into a mindless host body for some dead person's spirit to latch onto. And the Edo Tensei gives you the ability to basically subjugate their spirit so that you're in charge of them. So like Orochimaru is going to summon two people who would not traditionally fight for Orochimaru against Sarutobi, but because of the jutsu he's using, he's able to control them. And in fact, he tries to summon a third, and it's pretty interesting and important. So do you want to cover all that, Spencer?
Yeah, so he is summoning the first and then the second, then Sarutobi stops him when he's summoning the third because he understands at this moment who or could be the three people that he would want to summon that he would have access to with being from the Hidden Leaf and being able to be close and in contact with the coffers of the Hidden Leaf Village. These are the first Hokage, second Hokage, and fourth Hokage. The fourth Hokage is stopped from being summoned, but the first and the second have been summoned.
Yeah,
and
we don't even actually see the fourth Hokage. We'll get a flash of him a little bit near the end of this fight. And anybody who has seen Naruto or can infer from the character designs might note that the fourth Hokage is pretty goddamn important to this whole thing.
Yes. So here's the biggest reason why. If you've watched the show and you really are far ahead, there is the first Hokage, which has a really amazing ability. His ability is to match up earth and also water and infuse it with life energy. This gives him the ability to make living plants. He can grow gigantic trees. In fact, the entire forest that surrounds the village hidden in the leaf was grown from the first Hokage.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so the second Hokage has the ability of ice and water. He is a very powerful water user inside of this universe. His backstory is really sweet. But I'm going to get it for a very long time.
Well, we'll get to revisit these characters later. They are awesome. They're also super fun to use in the fighting games. And one thing to note about the second Hokage is that he is so strong, he is able to generate a massive torrent of water out of nothing. Like, usually water users have limited abilities if they're not near water. And when they are near water, they're pulling on that natural water to manipulate it. The second is able to generate it. Probably, if you have to justify it, he probably is able to suck the water out of the air or something. It might also be a temporal jutsu like summoning, where he's able to pull it from nothing by like summoning it from elsewhere. But either way, it is badass, and it is commented on by the helplessly spectating members of the Leaf Village who can't get into the barrier at how just mind-blowing and unbelievable it is that he's able to do that.
Yeah. So the last person and the one that Sarutobi was so invested in not having him be released was the fourth Hokage. The fourth Hokage is not even arguably, it is canon inside of the show that he is much more powerful than the first three Hokages before him. He is incredibly powerful inside of the show. You will not get to see him fight, unfortunately, until you get all the way to fucking Shippuden.
But
be aware, he is way more powerful than the other three.
Also really fun to use in the fighting games. The fighting games from Naruto, by the way, are fantastic. I don't know about the most recent one. I saw it at Target the other day, and I think there might have been one or two before that since the one I've got, which is a 360. I think it's like Ninja Storm Ultimate Revolution 3 or something like that. It like goes all the way up almost to the end of Naruto and includes a couple of the younger characters from part one, and it's great. It has like 100 playable characters or something. The fighting games are really fucking good. The new ones have like Boruto characters in them, and I'm hoping have the same fighting system because it's a good system. And Spencer and I have spent many hours beating the Christ out of each other on that, and it's really fun. The games are great. I cannot recommend them enough, with the caveat that I am not familiar with the new ones. But yeah, anyway, let's keep going.
So, what is going to be happening next is a fantastic fight scene. What I literally, because it is so good, this is one of those things that I did with Cowboy Bebop as well, is that I step aside to pause your coverage today and go watch this.
Episode 71. It is worth it.
We will cover it very lightly inside of this fight, just so that you need to go enjoy it.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of back and forth between Sarutobi Sensei and the first and the second Hokage. There's going to be a torrent of water thrown out. There is a fireball technique. There is a mud wall thrown up. And then the important plot line inside of the story that's going to happen last is that the first Hokage is going to use this hidden forest technique where he grows a gigantic tree out of the top of the roof and out of the mud wall that fucking Sarutobi summoned in the first place.
Yeah.
And it's going to trap Sarutobi right after he bites his thumb and makes the hand symbols for a summoning technique. Orochimaru, the first and the second, are going to think that he is completely captured, not able to do anything, when he finally slaps his hand down on the side of the tree and summons this badass King of the fucking Monkeys. He is my favorite summon in the show.
Yeah, he's awesome. His name is King Enma, the Monkey King.
Yes.
You'll also know the name Enma if you watch a lot of anime. He appears in Dragon Ball. He appears in Yu Yu Hakusho. Enma is a pretty common Japanese mythological character. I think he's usually like kind of like Satan, but not as malicious. He's sort of like a gatekeeper for the dead or king of the underworld. I guess more like Hades or Pluto from Greek and Roman mythology. He's kind of like that. He's not really actively malicious. He's just aligned with something that makes people freak out a little bit.
He's
awesome.
So good.
He's so cool. He's like a sort of anthropomorphic monkey. He, like most of the summons in the show, is sentient, so he's able to speak. And he is also able to transform himself into one or a series of long, sturdy, like bow staffs, basically. And he's just, he's so cool. This fight is so good.
Power pole is what you're looking for. It is the power pole from Dragon Ball.
That's true. That's fair.
It's literally just that. Not only is he very good inside of his normal monkey state at fighting, but he is exponentially more devastating when he is transformed and put into the Hokage's hands, because he has the ability to extend his arms from this pole, also harden his body so it's almost indestructible. He's able to extend himself so he can go super, super far across the map very, very fast. And also, the Hokage is very good at using this weapon. So he uses it immediately to start knocking out these characters that are around him. He starts fighting 3-on-1. It is pretty dope.
He is so efficient and so good with this that he actually knocks out the first and second Hokage for several minutes. Like, it brings him into a one-on-one fight with Orochimaru because of how badly he hurts them.
Yes. He also sticks them with explosive tags that are going to knock them down and blow up the first Hokage's leg and the second Hokage's arm. We're going to find out that because they are the summon technique of the Edo Tensei, they have the ability that they cannot be completely destroyed until their souls are released or until they are completely sealed. We will find out way more about that inside of Shippuden. But today,
way more than I ever wanted to know.
Yes. But there's going to be a quick, sweet fight between Orochimaru and the Hokage one-on-one, where Orochimaru is going to do the grossest of the things that he does, which is summoning this fucking sword from the bowels of his stomach with, like, a snake that lives inside of him for some fucking reason.
Or something. It's great. It's really good villainy shit, but it's gross.
It's very gross. But he's gonna fight with that. We also get from Enma a really interesting thing, which is that even though he is insanely powerful and can harden his body to almost indestructible levels, he says that this sword that Orochimaru has, which we'll find out later the reason why, is so powerful that it can hurt his body even when he's in his bow staff state. It's a very, very dangerous sword, and the reason why, is because it is a poisonous sword. It is infused with a poison that literally, if it strikes you on your hand or cuts you in the slightest, it will poison your entire body. So Orochimaru is really scary with this thing, and he is going to try and kill Sarutobi. Right before he does, though, the first and the second come back, and they get into a 3-on-1 match. But right before they start fighting, Orochimaru shows off this gross thing that he has summoned.
Yeah, and this is going to lead us...
Mostly it's just a mask.
it's going to lead us into some backstory. So Orochimaru is going to peel his face off to reveal that he is actually...
Nicolas Cage!
I'm a cat. I'm a sexy cat. So, he's gonna peel his face off to reveal that he is actually a young girl, and this actually, we've seen Orochimaru look like a woman before, and I don't remember if this is exactly what he looked like, but I believe he first shows up looking like this, and then he's able to basically generate a mask of himself from the way he used to look. So what we're going to find out in flashback is that Sarutobi long ago discovered that Orochimaru had a secret lab. They actually... Oh yeah, I wrote here that I had never thought about it, but Orochimaru is just a mad scientist. Like, that's...
Yep.
If you boil down his character, like, that's what he is. He might as well be Dr. Frankenstein or something. So he has been... apparently kidnapping and killing various people from the Leaf Village. And this has put the Hokage on watch. They have discovered his secret lair. And he's gonna basically confirm that he wants to be like this great inventor. He talks about how at some point in history, somebody for the first time combined the colors blue and yellow and got to create and name the color green. And he equates this to what he wants to do with jutsu. And he's like, you gotta have, you have to have chakra and you have to have technique, and then you can make these new jutsus. I want to make a lot. He basically just wants to, like, come up with new jutsu because that appeals to him. In order to do that, he wants to study the bodies of people who have jutsu that he doesn't, so that he can try and unlock their secrets. So he keeps fucking killing people and dissecting them so that he can learn their secrets. But he also has a second thing that he's doing with these bodies, which is he's trying to learn how to become immortal. And the reason he wants to become immortal is related to this goal. He does not feel that his lifespan will be long enough naturally to allow him to achieve his goals as far as studying and generating jutsu. So, in order to achieve his goal, he has set himself a secondary goal, which is to crack the code on immortality. What we're going to learn by after flashing back to the present is that Orochimaru has found a way to become immortal, and the way to do that is to find young bodies and possess them. Essentially, he functionally kills the person that has that body by possessing their body with his spirit. And it allows him to take over them. He's able to generate his own old face so that he can still go about the world as himself. And the Hokage, Sarutobi, realizes that this is exactly why Orochimaru has taken an interest in Sasuke.
Mm-hmm. Because he wants to eventually take over Sasuke's body. The other thing that he is going to have a flashback and an epiphany on is that there was a moment inside of his past where he was fighting against Orochimaru inside of his lair, and he had the ability to kill Orochimaru. He did not take the chance at the time, and he realizes that in this moment he is going to have to correct his previous mistake because Orochimaru is too dangerous to live. The reasoning why he let him go in the first place is that he was one of the Hokage's first pupils. He took him on as well as the other Sannin, which are like the three of the most powerful ninjas that were ever produced by the village hidden in the leaf.
Yeah, we've met one of those before.
His name
is Jiraiya, and we're actually going to see him for a brief cutaway in the next episode.
Yeah. So he is going to realize that this is going to happen, and he is going to have to take Orochimaru down. Around the village, the shit that is also happening is that they're trying to figure out if they should evacuate the kids. Also, the giant snake, one of them is going to be completely taken out by Jiraiya with a giant frog that he drops on top of the snake's head.
It's pretty cool.
Jiraiya has a moment where he's just like, be afraid of me, I'm a very good ninja, and then does a little hop dance. That doesn't matter, let's get back to the actual fight. Anyways, the first and the second are going to try to attack at the same time the Hokage. The Hokage is going to protect himself by producing a lot of versions of Inma, and protecting himself inside of this cage out of these unbreakable versions of Inma inside of his bow staff form. So after that happens, he gets caught in a genjutsu, which is like perfect darkness. And then he decides that he is going to use a technique. This technique is also a technique that we will see a total of, I think it's one more time in the show. Is that right?
Yeah, it's we're going to learn in this sequence that this is a technique that was created by the fourth Hokage, which is, you know, the one that came after Sarutobi, but whose death caused Sarutobi to step back into the mantle of Hokage. And it is a forbidden technique that the fourth Hokage used to seal the Nine Tails. Which is, as a reminder for anybody who doesn't know, the giant demonic beast that has been sealed inside of our protagonist, Naruto. That's how he got there.
Yep.
So in his
being trapped inside of this perfect darkness, he decides to make three shadow clones and start this technique. When he uses this technique, his body begins to deteriorate, and then you start to see this giant, ominous, shadowy figure appear behind him, and Sarutobi is going to let us know that this is the mantle of death. It is literally the face of the Grim Reaper that has appeared behind him. It's really creepy. It has this long tongue and really, like, bloodshot eyes. Like, really, like, it looks sharp kind of, teeth.
It reminds me a little bit of an Oni, depending on what iteration you're watching. And it's very, like, traditional Japanese kind of creepy specter. It's really cool. And the Grim Reaper is going to put its arm into the back of this, like, human-shaped energy. It looks like chakra. And Sarutobi, the main one, not the clones, is going to react as though he has been, like, stabbed in the back when this happens.
Yeah. Like, he's been gutted, almost. And he's not able to completely control himself. He is going to, instead, throw his two shadow clones, one at the first and one at the second. They are going to rip through his body, or the Reaper is going to rip through his body and grab onto the souls of the first and second, pull them back into the Shadow Clone's body, seal them inside of there, and then they are going to be absorbed, we're going to find out in a minute, by the Reaper, who literally we see him, like, pull the souls out, open his mouth by, like, dislodging it like a snake, and then
biting the heads off of these souls. It's fucking creepy.
It is. There's a couple of cool things that are going to happen in this sequence. One is, before the shadow clones are dispelled, we're going to see the seal mark appear on them that notes that the soul of these people have been sealed inside of them. That mark is identical to the one that's on Naruto's stomach. So that's some really good callback world building. We're also going to see that once the souls have been pulled from the Edo Tensei, it can't maintain anymore. So the bodies are going to turn back into earth, and they're going to crumble and melt away. And what's really fucked up is that it reveals that the bodies of two of the three Sound Village kids that were participating in the Genin tournament are there, and they are now corpses. And what I didn't think about until after we'd already started recording is that there was a third summon, and I bet that that's what happened to the third body. Or like somebody else was in there. And it's just really fucked up. And Sarutobi actually mentions like that he can't believe that Orochimaru would manipulate his subjects this way. So you've finally defeated those two, and it's going to leave just Orochimaru and Sarutobi facing off against each other.
Yeah. So Sarutobi is going to run very quickly while throwing Inma at Orochimaru. Orochimaru is taken off guard for just a second, and in that time, Sarutobi grabs him and pulls him in towards himself and starts to release the Reaper to grab onto Orochimaru's soul. Orochimaru's soul is grabbed, and he says that he like can't understand this feeling, and then he looks up and he can start to see the Grim Reaper appearing in front of him. Sarutobi earlier explained that the only people that can see the Grim Reaper are the people that have sacrificed their souls already to it. So that is what is being held by this Grim Reaper, is the soul of Sarutobi that he has already sacrificed to this Grim Reaper, and he is going to reveal to Orochimaru that this ability is forbidden because you have to sacrifice your life in order to make a perfect seal of another soul inside of your body, and then those souls are sacrificed to the Grim Reaper.
At least
one soul.
Yeah. He explains that the Grim Reaper, the forbidden technique, not only kills its user and the person that's targeted by it, but it intertwines their souls for eternity so that they will hate each other and fight each other forever while they're being basically like tormented in the belly of the Grim Reaper, who will periodically decide to devour them, even though it's implied, if not directly stated, that this devouring is more like torture rather than a death or ceasing of existence. So this is basically hell that he is casting them into in order to defeat Orochimaru. Orochimaru notices that he is unable to use his jutsu. Basically, now that he's starting to be sealed, he does not have control over his jutsu anymore. However, he does still have control over the snake sword that he was using to fight Sarutobi and Enma, and he summons this sword to try and stab Sarutobi in the back.
We find out that he does stab Sarutobi in the back. Enma is going to try to catch it and stop it, but he is not in time. But the Hokage reveals that he doesn't give a shit about this. He's already given up his life, and as long as he can take Orochimaru with him, he is completely fine with it, and that's the end of our coverage.
I think Enma is able to prevent the sword from running him through more completely, and I don't think that Enma's not helping at all here. I think he's basically preventing Orochimaru from outright killing Sarutobi, which allows Sarutobi to continue with the jutsu to try and seal away Orochimaru's soul. So, like, without Enma, he would have died, and with Enma, he's just, like, fatally wounded. I thought that this episode was going to end with the conclusion. It is not. They are going to be trapped in this embrace for some sort of conclusion to their battle in future coverage for us. I was a little surprised that it didn't wrap up here, but the other thing to note is that what we covered today first, we called our B plot. That is going to switch to the A plot from here on out. Like, the fight is not technically over, but it's functionally over, and it is no longer going to be our highlight. We're going to switch to finding out what's going on with Gaara and Naruto and Sasuke and all of them next time.
Yeah. If you're wondering how long it's going to be, it is a... It is a Frieza and Goku level of episodes that is going to be the wrap-up of this fight. It is way too long for something that seems like it should be much shorter, but fuck it.
Luckily, it's not going to be the focus, so it's kind of forgivable.
Yeah. Anyways, stick with us after these credits. We will talk about what's coming on next time.
Blake and Spencer Get Jumped is made by Forever Summer Productions.
With sound editing done by Rashad English of Plain English Productions. He's our level 5 sound wizard.
Our podcast is ad-free and we want to keep it that way. If you want to keep it that way too, please consider supporting us on Patreon.
Patreon members get exclusive member content and unlock group perks.
Follow us on Twitter at @BNSGetJumped. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BlakeAndSpencerGetJumped, or talk to us on Reddit at reddit.com/r/getjumped.
If you like the show, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. Reviews help us chart on iTunes. And remember, new episodes come out every Sunday on your favorite podcast platform.
Next week on Blake and Spencer Get Jumped, we're back watching JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
This is Billy Mays again with the Extendo Knife, the sword that will cut through anything!
Spencer, we did this joke already.